This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Susan Nash. Susan is in Zanesville, Ohio, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is April 13th, 2009. It is now 9:14 a.m. And Susan, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. Please tell me about your quilt, Token of Love.
My quilt, Token of Love, truly made. It's a work of art, beyond being a work of art. I made it in honor of my mother, who passed away in 2000. I actually started it, and I used to teach a quilting class in Newark, Ohio, at a shop that's now closed. But people wanted to learn crazy quilting techniques, and I was trying to incorporate newer techniques beyond just the crazy quilting techniques, which I admire and love, but I was including and teaching the class how to do jet transfers onto fabric, taking old photographs and doing that sort of thing using the computer. So I started out by just making blocks memorializing my mother, and it just grew into this larger piece. I had pictures, a picture of her as a six-month-old at her high school graduation, and then later in her life. And it was just a fun way to teach a lot of different techniques. And my favorite thing to do is, I kind of call it junking up quilts, but it's adding all kinds of found objects that I collect and enjoy using. One of my favorite objects on this quilt is I guess you call it a garter, the bottom of a garter off of a girdle. And one of my memories with my mother is she used to go to bridge club meetings once a month. That was a big deal because she was a stay-at-home mom, and that was important for her to get out once in a while. And she was a large woman and could not reach around and hook up her hose to her garter, and that was my job. So I got one of those on the quilt. It was just in honor of my mom. She was, when I look back, she was my biggest cheerleader. She was always encouraging me and telling me there wasn't anything I couldn't do. And I'm just really pleased to have been able to make this and share it with other people. And I was honored that it was actually accepted into Sacred Threads in 2007. And I don't even remember which Sacred Threads has the different options that you can enter a quilt under joy, inspiration, spirituality, healing, grief, peace. And I'm not sure whether which one it went under. It could have been under, I'm assuming it did inspiration. It could have been joy. It could have been any of those. But and it helped me grieve the loss, and I enjoy looking at it every day. It hangs in my studio to remind me of for inspiration.
Did you actually go to Sacred Threads to see it?
Yes, I'm fortunate enough to live just 45 minutes away from Reynoldsburg, Ohio. So, yes.
Tell me about the experience.
Sacred Threads is just an amazing show. I like it because each quilt hanging in the show has a description. The maker has described what they were thinking, why they made this quilt. And so many times you look around and you see people having to leave because they're in fear. They have to go collect themselves because the stories, some of them are so deep and so touching. It's just a wonderful, wonderful venue.
Tell me about the experience of writing your artist statement.
Well, that one was a particularly easy artist statement for me to write, as I recall. That was 2 years ago, but just because it was something so near and dear to my heart, it was just very easy for me to expound on the fact that my mother was a promoter of mine. You know, she just made me feel safe and secure, and that was an amazing person. And I really miss her, and I found through time that there's you know, I just always assumed everybody loved their mother and would miss them, and it shocks me when I say to someone they're so lucky to still have their mother, and they don't feel that way, but for the majority, I think people do.
Is this quilt typical of your style?
You know, it's not. You know, I did a series of quilts like that, and I love and admire older quilts and traditional quilts. This one is probably more traditional than what I do more recently. And even though it's in a traditional style, it's not particularly a traditional crazy quilt, I would say. It's got a lot more, you know, it's just a whole different shape. A lot of more things added to it, like the old gloves, and the inkjet transfers, that sort of thing. I'm doing more nature-oriented pieces. Now I'm doing a ginkgo series using ginkgo leaves. But I do love to add things to my pieces, so this is indicative of a token of love, definitely reflects that.
There is a lot of embellishment on this quilt.
It's my favorite thing to do. I have an older friend that said once, she suggested that everything, it should just be done. You know, I was still putting things on a piece, and she was amazed at how much stuff I still had yet to put on. And sometimes it's hard to know when you're finished, but you just decide, I guess. Or maybe things are never finished. I still find myself adding here and there to different pieces.
Well, tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, it goes back a long ways. I grew up in a family where my grandmother and aunts on my father's side made quilts constantly, and we slept under quilts. I was surrounded by quilts growing up, and I've always appreciated them. I didn't enjoy sewing that much until I got into high school. I figured out I could have more clothes if I sewed them myself. But from that, I have a degree in Bachelor of Science in Zoology from Ohio University, but I've never used it. I went quickly back to sewing, and art would have been my first love, but my father thought I should get a degree in something that I could actually make money in, which kind of backfired. I'm fortunate enough in this day to have a studio and be working outside the home in my own studio and be a full-time studio artist, and have a husband who is willing to help finance me that way.
You mentioned teaching. Do you still teach?
I haven't been recently. I'm open to it. I've been invited by the local quilt group to teach here and there. I enjoyed it when I was working at the quilt shop. It was fun. I really enjoy teaching people new techniques and watching them get excited about it.
Well, since you mentioned your studio, describe your studio.
It's a wonderful space. It's an old warehouse dating back, the title search went back to 1878, but that's not as old as the building is. It's got great old bones. It's just brick and wood and a big, long, open space. The windows are 7 feet above our head. So we actually have a loft at one end so we can look out the windows. I share it with another artist. She's a mixed-media artist, Susan Stubbins. We've had shared a studio since, I want to say 2004, and in downtown Zanesville, and we were fortunate at the time that we decided to have a studio outside our home. Zanesville also decided to have an artist colony in downtown, so we were fortunate to become members of that, and they have sponsor First Friday's art walks each month. So we're open during the day, but we're also open every first Friday. And after however many years, it's starting to pick up. People are starting to realize that there's artists in downtown Zanesville. And it's exciting. It's exciting. This is the place I love to be. I absolutely no problem spending my time here making art.
So what does it look like besides that? What do you have there?
We're on the second floor. We have each of us, we have our own little section where I call my spot, my space. I have my sewing machines, and the other artist, Susan Stubbins, has her space. We have our own little kitchenette and bathroom, and the loft has library and computer area and office. Part of it is a gallery. Actually, most of it's a gallery because we have things hanging on the walls, but we bill ourselves as a studio slash gallery. So we do get people coming up during the week as well to check out our work, and it's a very inspiring space.
Tell me about sharing the space with another person.
That is that's one of the best parts. So nice to have someone else. I think as artists, we actually tend to be, or maybe that's just me, we tend to be kind of loners where we can kind of seclude ourselves and become antisocial, maybe even. But having another person to bounce ideas off of kind of keep you in the here and now, maybe even, is wonderful. Plus, we share the expenses of the building. But beyond that, it's a camaraderie. It's a, she inspires me, I inspire her. Good news is she was an art teacher for 30 years, I believe, and she often has suggestions for me. I really had no art background, so she'll make composition suggestions or give me little ideas, and I think I do the same for her. I've thrown away scraps of fabric, and I have found them on her pieces later, where she'd seen them in the trash and thought she could use them, so just have a really good working relationship, and I think it's just a positive for both of us. In fact, I've even had other people say how lucky we are to have another person to share a space with, I think for those reasons.
Tell me about your creative process.
Well, my creative process, I kind of work, for a while I was worried about what I should be making. I finally decided, I'm just going to make what I want to make, what comes to me, instead of looking at an upcoming show and thinking, I wonder what will get into that show, what could I make that would fascinate those people. I have just started creating what comes from my heart intuitively, and it seems to work. That seems to be the work that catches people's eyes, things that, it's hard to describe. Even last year, I just decided, whatever I'm thinking about wanting to make, if I want to just try a leaf, I'm going to do a leaf. And I have a whole series of leaves that are still coming on. And of course, I've always got my beads and buttons and baubles and laces and things like that. Rickrack is one of my favorites to add to the pieces. I love working in wool. Wool is so soft and it melts, the threads melt into the wool. I love adding touches of wool. I seem to have a good flow going right now where I've got several pieces going at one time. I've always got something in my brain working, something on a piece of paper, a couple in process. I feel real lucky at the moment to not be puzzling too much about what it is I'm making. I've had a few commissions lately, and I've been fortunate that those were commissions that I could do pretty much what I wanted to within a color parameter and maybe, for example, I just did a goddess, moon goddess quilt. All I had was the color parameters and the fact that they wanted a moon goddess on it. So that was fun because they didn't care what I put on it beyond that. So I feel very fortunate.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
Pardon me, I didn't hear that.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
For someone starting out, I feel like I'm still just starting out, even though I've been doing this for over 30 years probably, but only seriously maybe in the last 10. I would say just follow your heart. does what, do what rings true to you, what resonates for you. Don't hold yourself up to competition. Don't think about whether or not someone else is going to like it. If you love it, if it, again, if it rings true for you, then I think that's what works for me personally.
Do you belong to any art or quilt groups?
Yes. I belong locally to the Zanesville Appalachian Art Project. Initials are ZAP. It's a little grassroots group here in Zanesville promoting arts and artists in the area. Also, the Artist Colony of Zanesville, which I already talked about. I belong to Studio Art Quilt Associates, which is an international group of studio art quilters. The Ohio Art League, which is a state art group. Wow. I think that's it.
And why is belonging to these groups important to you?
I forgot a group, Art Quilt Network. That's an awesome group. It's another international quilt group. Belonging to these groups, I think it's important to network with other people. It's a good way to promote yourself, to get your work out there, seen by other people. But for like Art Quilt Network or SACWA, there's so many opportunities for an artist to learn business aspects, to help promote yourself in that manner. But I think it's important just to get together with other like-minded people and find out what they're doing, pick their brains, they pick yours. You know that you're normal, maybe, that you're on the same track. They're good groups. And you get back what you give, too, I think. The more involved you are, the more you get out of it. I've always believed that.
How many hours a week do you quilt?
I am physically in the studio, usually like by 9 o'clock every day, and stick around until 5. But I do find myself frittering away time on the computer. I would say I try to stay focused on work, so 5 to 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday. I try not to come down on the weekends to the studio, but I find myself thinking, I could be working on that if I were down there. So,
is that a negative to having to go to work, so to speak?
No. I think it's a positive. That was one reason. It took a while for me to take that jump to work, go to a studio outside my home. I had a home studio sewing room. And I always found myself finding other things to do at home, so answering the phone, doing the laundry, et cetera. I get to actually do a little more better home care because when I'm home, that's what I'm doing, rather than being drawn to work on my art. And, no, I absolutely treat coming to the studio like a job. And I don't mean that as a negative at all. I look forward to it. It's the place I want to be. So once again, I feel very fortunate that I have the space and that that I'm doing what I love and that I'm able to do that.
You mentioned the support of your husband. What does your family think of your quilt making?
They are coming around. I think they've always thought I was a crafter. You know, they were interested, amused, interested, but not overly respectful. I will say that the first time I sold a piece got a lot more attention from everybody, especially my husband. And when his friends started asking me, you know, I'd have a commission or two from some of his friends who are local businessmen, he was definitely more intrigued and interested. And it seems a little sad that that's what it takes for someone to make some money at it, maybe, for them to realize that I was serious. And He's a total supporter now. I mean, he bought the building, the warehouse building that we're in now. So we moved our studio from an office building, an office space, to the warehouse just in December. So, I mean, he's totally supportive, and it's been great. There was a time when I had to tell my, I felt the need to tell my family that, you know, if someone asks me what your mom does for a living, tell them she's an artist. not necessarily, you know, a housewife, or, you know, I don't know, what if she does. I felt that need at one point for them to understand that was important to me, even though I had to convince myself that I felt that way, that I wasn't hiding behind the mask of artist. It took a while for me to feel comfortable with that hat as well, but for the most part, they're very supportive, and they've really jumped on the bandwagon with me now.
So you call yourself an artist, or do you do the quilt maker, or?
I call myself an artist, a quilt artist, a textile artist. That's what I feel that I am. Like I said, it took some courage. I think a lot of this is in this field, for me at least, it's always taken me that step to just dive in and do it. To call myself an artist and hope that my and I will say that some of my friends, quilt making friends, and I consider myself I'm absolutely a quilt maker. I'm a quilt artist. But I when I took the step to have my own studio outside of the home and call myself an artist, there was a lack of support there. And I think it was just because, honestly, it was a change. It was something different. And they wanted me to stay the same, maybe. I'm not sure. But now I don't feel that way. I think people are happy for me. And
what do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
Wow. I'm not sure. Being taken seriously? That it's not just a craft, that it is art? I would say, at least in my area of quilt making, I feel that even in the artist community that I'm in, my work has been referred to as, quote, chick art. And I'm not offended by that, but I get the sense that I'm low, being a textile artist, a quilt artist, is low on the food chain, as it were, of artists, that people who do sculpture and oil painting, they're a little, hold themselves in higher esteem than, I think they struggle with the fact that is it a craft or is it an art? But it's coming around. I really feel quilt artists are getting more recognition from the art world, from the fine art world. Absolutely.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
Oh, wow. There's many people. Oh, that's a tough question. I've always admired Susie Shai's work, and it's probably because hers were so heavily embellished. And I love word. I love the word on anything. So the fact that she journals on her quilts, I've always admired, appreciated that. Wow. Who else? There's very many. Natasha Kemper, I think is her name. I've always admired her work. I've never seen any in person, but in books and magazines. Probably the people's work I admire, I probably have a similar style, or it's the fact that I love the embellishing. So anybody who embellishes, I'm probably right there looking at that.
What do you think makes a quilt artistically powerful?
What makes a quilt artistically powerful? Color. I'm not sure. When I look at a piece, there's usually something grabs me. That's tough. And I am working on trying to notice, trying to think, go deeper and think about when something grabs my attention specifically. What was it that grabbed my attention? Why does this piece speak to me? For Sacred Threads, that's another good point, because when you go to Sacred Threads, you may look at a piece, a quilt hanging there, and think, I don't get it. But you read the artist statement, and oh my gosh, that makes it very powerful. And I wish fine art galleries hung more artist statements that described what was going on or what the thought process was when creating that piece, because maybe it's because I don't have any art training, but I can look at some pieces and think, I don't get it. But and that a lot of artists feel that their work should speak for itself, stand on its own, and that's all fine and good, but sometimes just having that art statement there, that description really nails it. So I'm working hard at trying to realize what it is that draws me to things, to artwork, so that I can internalize that and work with it, maybe.
What made you decide to enter the quilt into Sacred Threads?
Well, the first time I went to a Sacred Thread show, I was just blown away by the impact that show has. I think that show should be recognized on a national, international level, because it is such a deep, thoughtful show, and I just wanted to be a part of it. So every year, I'm working, thinking in the back of my mind that I hope to get a piece in that show, at least one piece each time, because it's just important. I feel it's just a wonderful, important show, and because of what it speaks to, the experience of women or men, but what kind of passion and heart they put into their work, it really comes through and sings in the show, and I am always honored to be a part of the show. When I've been accepted, when my work's been accepted. And I go even if I haven't. I've been fortunate enough to be accepted each year that I have attempted. But I would go no matter what. And I'm a great promoter. I tell everyone they need to get to this show, because it's a wonderful show for people who perhaps aren't even interested in quilt art. It's a very inspiring show. Very inspiring show.
What is your piece that you have in for this year?
I have a piece called Frozen in Time, and it's a small piece, but I entered it under either healing or grief. It's funny how I'm never quite sure which I go with, but it's the statement with it was about how our son has a drug addiction problem. He's 24. And how your life can become sort of frozen in time with worry and fear for someone that you love. I can barely even talk about it right now, so it's very sad. to have someone with a problem like that, that you really, you can only do so much, and then it's out of your control. And you just feel frozen. You're paralyzed because you can't do anything to fix the problem. That person has to fix the problem, and it's just a very, very difficult journey, and it will be a lifetime journey for him, and I hope and pray that he makes it.
He said it was a small piece. Token of Love is 46 by 32
yes.
inches. Is that a typical size for you? Do you?
That's more typical, yes. Currently, I am working smaller. I've discovered that, in fact, I have a lot of small pieces that I'm framing. I still consider them quilts because they're three layers. But to sell my work, people are way more accepting of things that look like they're supposed to hang on the wall, whereas I think that would be another answer to the problems that quilt artists face today is getting people to understand that that piece can hang on the wall. It doesn't have to go on a bed. So, yes, I'm working smaller, so a token of love is one of my larger pieces currently.
In what ways do you think that your quilts reflect your community and region? I mean, Ohio has always been known for art quilts.
Right. Maybe because I actually grew up in Athens and was able to go to Quilt National whenever it was in town. And even at that time, I was still making traditional quilts. But I knew someday I was taking that step. There's that courage thing again. I just had to work up enough courage to step off that edge and try something different. And, yes, there's a lot of exposures to art quilts in Ohio. So maybe... But, you know, I'm in an Appalachian county in Athens. I'm in Muskingum County, is an Appalachian county. We used to have a show at the local college called Women of Appalachia. And I would put art quilts into those shows. And that would be surprising to a lot of people that was, you know, they're still thinking quilts belong on beds. So there's a serious dichotomy in my region of Ohio between what is art and what isn't.
How are your quilts received in the Women of Appalachia exhibit?
Well, it's hard to tell. I actually won some awards. So either, obviously, the juror appreciated the work because I want traditional quilts. But it was an art show, and that's what's interesting. Some of my pieces have won awards in local art shows, which that means a lot to me in that they've accepted this as art in a region where most quilts are the traditional quilts, dead quilts. So that was exciting.
Is there a particular style of traditional quilts in your region?
No, I don't think there's anything. No particular style. Just your traditional log cabin, dress and plate. A lot of piecing. Yes, probably more piecing than applique, but
how do you want to be remembered?
Well, that's funny because I think intuitively when we making quilts, it's like it's a way of showing, having something to show for what you've done through your days. Instead of just cleaning, dusting, cooking, you actually have something for the world to see or something to be remembered by. I don't have anything. anything in particular that I'd like, any way I'd like to be remembered other than hopefully a good person, a nice person. Someone, you know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that.
You mentioned, you know, for the transfer and using that in your work. What advances in technology has influenced your work?
The computer in the printer. I very much enjoy using the transfer techniques, just like using my mother's photographs, putting them to fabric. And I've taken, even in Token of Love, I took an old postcard and scanned it and transferred it to the fabric so that one of the gloves is holding an old postcard that says A Token of Love. That's where I got the name. I have another piece that I have only three recipe cards that had my mother's handwriting on them. So I actually transferred those cards to fabric, and that's one of my favorite pieces. So I have her handwriting in fabric now, and I made it look like three recipe cards. Then I went to the antique stores here in town and looked for utensils that used to be in our drawer at home in the kitchen. And I found an old tea towel. I didn't want to use one of my mom's, but I found an old tea towel. So I mounted these on an old tea towel, and I actually found the little tin measuring spoons and the little basting brush and a little potato peeler. They all three look exactly like they could have come right from my mother's kitchen drawer, and I sewed those down to the quilt. So I still combine new methods with old methods, but the computer would probably be the most advanced technology that I incorporate into my work. Otherwise, I guess I still love handwork. I use the sewing machine more than I used to as far as finishing my pieces with machine quilting. But I don't have an embroidery machine or anything like that. So not much do I use, I guess, in technology.
Do you find it easy to come up with titles for your quilts?
Not always. Sometimes when I'm working on a piece, you just immediately know what the title is just because it fits in with what you're thinking. But I do sometimes struggle with titles. It's like I'm still making something because I want to add something to it. You know, like leaves. I'm thinking, how can I add buttons and beads to these? I'm not necessarily thinking, what will I call this when I'm finished with it?
You talk about doing series. Do you generally do a series? And why is doing a series important?
Well, the series, that has just come up in the last few years. I have found myself with inkjet transfers, for example. I did a whole series of those because I just kept playing with it and finding other ways to use other images to transfer. I took live oak leaves and scanned them, and then I applied them 3D to another piece so that they actually look like oak leaves all over this quilt. I think it's important to do series just because you keep working. For me, I'm working through ideas and thinking, I wish I'd have done this. Well, go ahead and do it. Try it in the next piece. And plus, so the Crazy Quilts was a series, and I keep coming back to those because I'm doing more collage work with old antique things rather than the crazy piecing. But I kind of have those two series. Like, if I'm not working on one, I'm working on another. I go back and forth between them. For example, the Ginkgo series I'm working on, I've just been doing them in greens, but now I'm thinking, what would happen if I started using different colors, not, you know, instead of them looking natural, try different colors, try different fabrics, So it's just a way of working to keep pushing myself a little bit and go deeper. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what does ginkgo mean to me? Why am I doing ginkgos, ginkgo leaves? So I'm working at, I think that's part of the series, is just going deeper.
Is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon before we conclude?
No, I'm just I'm very humbled to be asked to be interviewed. It's wonderful to be able to share my thoughts and work, and I really appreciate it. And thank you for the job you're doing.
Oh, thank you. You're more than welcome. See if there's anything else I would like to ask you. You talk about embellishment. What's your favorite embellishing thing? What do you like to? I mean, I noticed that there in Token of Love, there's a lot of buttons. Buttons and beads.
Those are my favorites. I'm leaning towards keys too.
Ooh.
I haven't used a lot of them yet, but I'm collecting them. I have little collections, just like the kitchen utensils. I found some really cool kitchen utensils, and I'm trying to think, how can I work those into something someday? But I always come back to buttons, beads, rickrack. I'd love rickrack. So just, and laces, if something requires, like some pieces don't, you can't put lace on it, it just wouldn't look right. But, you know, that might be part of my series, is pushing that to see how can I fit lace into this. So who knows?
So do you shop often? Are you out looking for things?
No, but you know what? Now that you say that, one of my absolute favorite things to use are found objects. And you can't go looking for found objects. You just have to stumble over them. That's the thing about a found object. I've got a whole collection of stuff that I have found on the street that I can't wait to use, just like from old rusted things, springs and bottle caps and... So that's, in terms of shopping, no, I don't, I should use what I have. I've probably done my fair share of shopping in the past, and now it's time to start using it up.
So how do you store all your found objects?
I have a lot of, my buttons are in tons of different jars, different sizes of jars. The found object, I have little boxes, little like, Altoid mint boxes. That's what I have my found objects, that little collection is in. Also, when we go on trips, different places, I bring things back from when we were in Portland, Maine, for example. The rocks and the shells there are so different from what they are in North Carolina. I just have little collections all over the place that someday I'll use. But I just have plastic bins with drawers in them that I store stuff in, and that's fun. When you go to clean, you always find all those things that you're reminded that you want to use.
Well, Emma, thank you for taking time out of your day and sharing with me.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun.
Good. So we're going to conclude our interview at 9:59.